Today's episode of the Biting Truth podcast is proudly brought to you by the Biting Truth cookbook, packed with delicious, healthy, and practical recipes. Before we begin, we would like to recognize and respect that we are recording from Guringai country.
Hi, and welcome to the Biting Truth podcast. We're your go-to buddies for all things nutrition. Join us as we navigate the intricate world of nutrition and give you the latest and greatest advice. So grab a seat and let's chat about staying healthy and informed.
I'm Alex, and with me is my lovely co-host, Anna.
Hi.
And we are the dietitians and founders of The Biting Truth. Now, in today's episode, we're sharing our top tips to cut down your grocery bill. We know that the cost of food and groceries is a major concern for many of us right now. And if you're like us, you're probably looking at ways that you can cut down your bill when it comes to your household expenses.
But before we jump into the episode, Alex, as always, our favorite part of the episode, do you have any recipes, product recommendations? What are you liking this week?
So my recipe this week is I have become obsessed with that old school kind of Asian cabbage noodle salad. This is something that you've sort of been making for a while now, and I kind of hadn't had it in a number of years. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it's that salad where it utilizes those Chang's fried noodles that you can buy from the Asian section of the supermarket.
It's a recipe on the back of the packet.
Yes. So it literally says, and the basic recipe is it literally has a wombok cabbage, it has spring onions, it has some like roasted almonds, it has the fried noodles, and then it's got a dressing. And you can actually buy like the Chang's dressing because it's like so iconic. They brought out like the bottle of the dressing that you can buy. Anyway, the actual dressing itself that you can buy and that it has on the back of the packet has quite a lot of sugar and it isn't very healthy. So we've been trying to make some adaptations to the dressing to make it healthier, using a lot less sugar, using extra virgin olive oil. And then we've also kind of been trying to add in different additions to the salad. We added a bit of cucumber and avo recently, but yeah, it just tastes so delicious and it's a great salad. You know, you can make a big batch, keep it in the fridge and then have it with, you know, some chicken or a steak. Anyway, I'm just absolutely obsessed. I'm probably late to the party on this one, but like, I just can't get enough.
It's so good. It actually ties in really nicely to my recommendation or what I'm frothing on at the moment, which is, and it was front of mind because tonight we're having steaks. It's Tuesday that we're recording today. And basically once a week, Ed and I do steak nights. We buy really good quality lean eye fillets and we cook them on the barbecue. Ed's become like an absolute gun at cooking steaks to perfection. So really medium rare.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
And we always have with the Asian noodle salad recipe. So I've been making that salad for years. And what's really funny about that recipe is once I asked Ed to make it, and I was like, just follow the back of the packet, essentially. And he made it, and he made the dressing according to the back of the packet. And I honestly, we could not, and we had friends, and we had his family over. We could not eat the dressing because it was so sugary. So please don't follow the recipe on there. It has, I think it's got like half a cup of sugar. It is ludicrous, the amount of sugar. I usually add 1 teaspoon of sugar or even less. So you need a little bit because it cuts through. Also try to reduce the soy sauce because otherwise it can be quite salty or buy salt reduced soy sauce.
Oh, yeah,
but whenever we have a steak, literally my plate looks like the perfect healthy eating plate when I have, because you've got the little bit of protein, which is about the size of our palm.
Yeah.
Then at least half the plate is the salad.
I just like could eat so much of it.
Literally scrape the bowl off. I think it's amazing because you end up having like 3 or 4 cups of veggies. And I like your idea about like trialing it with some new veggies, maybe some carrot in there would be really yum. That goes quite well with that sort of like, if you could like cut the carrot into matched sticks, I think that would work really well. And also just be mindful about how many noodles you add because the calories can add up quite a lot.
Yeah. And I guess because we usually like to add some crunch into our salad. So we might add like wasabi peas and the nuts kind of go well there.
You could ditch the noodles, but I mean, wouldn't recommend.
But also just a quick point that it's really important to buy the correct type of cabbage. So we recently just went away with Anna and Ed and Mia, and I sent Angus off to the shops and I was like, we're going to make the cabbage salad. And instead of buying the wombok cabbage, he just bought like what's the other one?
Just a cabbage.
Yeah, so then we couldn't have the salad because I mean, yeah, I wonder, can you eat that cabbage raw? I mean, yes, I'm sure.
You can,
yeah,
that's kind of coleslaw.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to have a lot of dressing on that. Yeah. It's not very nice. I prefer to cook cabbage.
Yeah, or we often have the purple cabbage as a slaw. Anyway, fail. We didn't have the
cabbage. You got to shred it really finely with that. Anyway, we weren't able to make our much.
Beloved salad.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's jump into the meaty part of today's episode. Cutting down that supermarket bill, such a hot topic of conversation at the moment. And let's face it, life's already expensive and, you know, the grocery bill doesn't really help a lot at the moment.
Yeah, but I think it's important to note that people often associate eating healthily with being more expensive. And don't get us wrong, the cost of food at the moment is not cheap. But interestingly, there was some new research that came out towards the end of last year that showed that maintaining a healthy diet in line with the Australian dietary guidelines is cheaper than an unhealthy diet. So what this research involved was researchers went to different supermarkets and they purchased two baskets of food. One of those baskets met the Australian dietary guidelines and the other one didn't. And they found that the basket that met the Australian dietary guidelines cost $167 to be exact, less than the unhealthy basket. So that's a saving of about $4,000 a year.
Can you just explain what does a basket that aligns to the Australian dietary guidelines, what does that look like compared to the unhealthy basket?
Yeah, so the Australian dietary guidelines basket was what you probably imagine, filled with whole foods, so things like fruits and veg, whole grains, unprocessed foods, whereas the unhealthy basket had a lot of snacks and convenience food, processed meats, those sorts of things. So really interesting study. I thought it was just interesting to point out, because often we think, eating healthy costs more, but if we're smart about it, it doesn't always have to be the case.
Yeah. And that's what we wanted to do today, is actually share our top tips to save some dollar bills when you're at the supermarket. And we actually do seminars and webinars to corporates on this topic because it is so popular and it's affecting everyone. Okay, so tip number one is to plan before you shop. Essentially, you want to make a shopping list and you need to stick to it. That means no aimless wandering around the supermarket. When we aimlessly wander around, it's a surefire way to end up with a cart full of impulse buys. I'm talking from experience, people. So my favorite way to do this is we have a pad of paper it's like a magnet that sticks onto the fridge. And every time we need a new food item, we add it to that list. And every time I make a meal plan for the week, I add what we need to that list. So I either take a photo of that list or just rip it off, because it kind of tears off, and bring it to the supermarket with me. And that is what I buy solely. I stick to that list.
I like that. The old school pen and paper.
Just seeing it up there, and it's just I don't need to then message Ed being do we need milk? Can you check? Do we have lettuce and things? You just write it on the list and it's always up to date.
Yeah, we do a similar thing. We usually plan our meals for the week and then we do one big shop, when I usually write a list in the notes on my phone that I kind of, I write it and then I remove it from delete each one as I go. But I do find I'm still end up doing a few ad hoc trips to the supermarket, but I do really try for that one big shop, and then maybe once or twice during the week I go to get some more milk or yogurt or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So the best thing you can do is, and again, it's the beginning of the year, start with the best intentions, try to get this habit down pat. Do some meal planning, guys. It's so important. And I'm talking just even dinner meal planning. I think breakfast and lunch are easier to do on the go. We actually have a podcast all on meal planning, so I recommend kind of going back through our episodes and having a listen to that. But, if you can just think, okay, I've got 5 nights even I want to plan for, maybe put weekends away. And again, this is what I do. And I think, okay, so Monday night, I try to have a vegetarian. I think maybe that's going to be tofu, or maybe it's going to be legumes. So I'm going to put that on the list. Then I will usually buy, one salmon, because I know I'm going to have salmon once a night. I'm going to buy steaks I'm going to buy steaks. So then I'll have that one night, some chicken. So buy proteins for 5 dinners. Have that on the list, and then and as long as you have veggies and things, then you can whip together a pretty healthy balanced meal every night.
And if you plan, you can think about overlap of ingredients. So say you're buying a bunch of spring onions and one recipe uses those, incorporate them into another recipe that week. Otherwise you're just going to have half a bunch of spring onions sitting in your crisper going off, and when you could be enjoying them as part of the cabbage salad.
Waste is such a big issue, and it's a massive cause of wasted dollar bills as well. So, you know, as Alex said, if you can kind of make ingredients go further, cook a few meals using those same ingredients, so we're not throwing any good quality food in the bin. You're killing two birds with one stone there, you know, reducing food waste and saving money.
Yeah. So planning.
Planning. Write that list and stick to it.
All right.
No one should go to the supermarket without a shopping list.
The next tip that we have is to really try and buy in bulk as much as you can. So typically, if you're getting larger bulk kind of packets of food, and we're not talking like going to Costco and buying those ridiculous.
Although stuff. You can do that.
Yeah. I mean, yes, that would be ideal. We all had a Costco membership, but it tends to be a bit cheaper if you buy slightly bigger or more bulkier products. So for example, buying a bigger tub of yogurt as opposed to like individual tubs of yogurt is going to be more cost effective.
And you need to do a bit of planning or thinking about this, because you don't want to buy big food, like a large amount of it's going to go off.
Yeah,
you know?
Like if you buy a huge tub of yogurt and you don't really eat yogurt, then you should be wasting it.
But yogurt has a fairly long shelf life. So, you know, you're better off getting a bigger, like 1 liter tub of yogurt than getting, you know, lots of small tubs.
And if you listen to our episode last week on probiotics, then you'll be eating yogurt every day. So you won't run out. You won't have it left over.
Yeah. So some of the things I like to buy in bulk. So milk is a big one. We go through lots of milk in this family, mainly because Ed like literally has a liter of milk a day. So we will always buy the 3 liter cartons of milk.
We go through so much milk too, but sometimes I find 3 liter just like so huge to be in the fridge. Like, but yes.
But you definitely end up saving money that way. Olive oil is another one we will buy. We don't get the huge tins because we know with olive oil it sort of has like a shelf life of 6 to 8 weeks, after which, you know, the nutrients do decrease. It's not as good for us. So we do, we usually go for, I don't know what it is. Like I think it might be a 1 or 2 liter bottle of olive oil. And then even tuna now, like I will try to buy like 185 grams or 425 grams tins of tuna rather than the 95 grams.
Good idea.
And make it big bulk salad, or make it for Ed and I, or, you know, make a tuna pasta. So these are small things, but if you can get the bigger packet and you're not going to waste it, then it is a way to save a little bit of money.
Yeah, they're great ideas. And a few more that we also do are things like nuts. So obviously nuts are very expensive, but generally if you buy a bigger packet, they're going to be cheaper. Rice as well, like we buy the huge bags and just store it in an airtight container. And also with things like cheese, like we buy cheese regularly and we'd usually buy like a bigger block.
Also actually oats are another one. I'll buy those really big things of oats and we get through it and they're going to last. So really have a think of anything that you could buy in bulk to help yourself, to help save a little bit of money when you are shopping. The next one is to try and choose foods that have been less processed. Now, just like, you know, cooking your meals is cheaper than buying a pre-made meals, when it comes to individual products, we want to go for less processed as they are often more affordable. Now, in this sense, we're not talking about process in the way of like a processed food like a lolly or chips or, you know, that sort of processed food. When we think about processed foods, we're actually talking about the way that the food has been made. So for example, instead of buying grated cheese, which has been processed, they've got a block and they've grated it down, you want to buy the block because you pay for that extra level of processing.
Yeah,
where
you pay for that convenience.
Yeah, exactly. So they've kind of grated it all, you know, a lot of the veggies, like it's very tempting to buy chopped veggies. Whereas really, like, you don't need to buy an iceberg lettuce that has been cut up. You know, it is way more cost effective just to buy the iceberg lettuce
and probably
cut
also
it up yourself.
Last not as long because it's already been chopped up.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely. So it, you know, it's that real juggle between convenience and cost there. Yeah. And sometimes, and there might be certain foods where it's really worth paying for the convenience, but where you can think about what steps you can do yourself. So can you grate that cheese? Can you chop those veggies? You know, some people buy cut and peeled potatoes.
Even like things like, you know, diced chicken or like chicken tenderloins, like obviously that's convenient and it's not enjoyable for many of us to have to be cutting chicken, but you pay for that.
I know. I do like those, the chicken that's been cut into chicken schnitzel because I like crumbing it and it is hard to get it really perfectly thin.
Yeah.
But lately I've just been like, look, it is, you do pay a fair bit more for it.
Yeah.
So I just get out my baton and really smash down the chicken on the bench to flatten it out.
Also things like spice mixes, like, you know how you can buy those like Mexican
for taco night.
Yeah. You can just make your own. Yeah. Usually they've just got things like paprika and cumin. I mean, there's a whole lot of salt in those as well. So they're not great, but Yeah.
It's a great
really
idea.
Being really mindful of all these things that you're buying that are convenience and how you could maybe make some changes.
Yep. Going for frozen prawns rather than fresh prawns. Also, then they're going to sit in the freezer. Also, like frozen salmon is going to be cheaper than fresh salmon. Look, legumes are an interesting one, like, you know, chickpeas and lentils, because you can go for the raw uncooked version and they are cheaper than the canned, but canned are obviously still really cheap and equally as healthy. So that might be an instance where you're like, I think taking the convenient option is worthwhile there.
I personally would like, I've never really buy raw legumes. Like, I just prefer the can. It's so easy.
Yeah, me too. But hopefully there are some ideas and just get your brain ticking. Like, go and have a look in your kitchen after you listen to this episode and think, have a look in the fridge and the pantry. Think, what products here could I potentially buy a less processed version and then save yourself some money?
And if you come up with any good ones, let us know so we can cut
share
our
them with the community.
The next tip we had was sort of flows on a little bit, but utilizing frozen and canned fruits and veggies and, like we said, with prawns or fish as much as possible. I think, you know, we try and talk about it a lot about how great frozen and canned foods can be, but there's still quite a bad stigma in society. Mm. People think they're not as nutritious or they're not as healthy. But, you know, in many cases, frozen and canned foods can be a fantastic option. They're often more affordable. So we would definitely recommend that these are featuring as part of your shopping.
So I want to ask, what frozen canned fruit and veggies do you buy?
So, in terms of frozen, like, we'll buy, like, obviously peas, we buy frozen edamame, we'll buy frozen spinach.
Frozen spinach is a really good one. I feel like
really
kind
recently
of unknown.
Gone.
People don't use it as much.
And because you can just add it to everything. Frozen, like, green beans, sometimes, like, mixed veggies, or, like, when I was sort of, you know, Rosie's my daughter, when she was particularly fussy, I'd buy like a bag of frozen cauliflower and then I could just put like one floret on her plate. So I wasn't wasting buying a whole cauliflower, you know, just
actually,
for that
really good idea.
To kids.
I haven't done any frozen veggies for me. I like, because then they're already cooked. You just have to like
really
heat them
easy.
Up and they're soft.
And if your child's like, they don't eat them, it's not this huge waste of your time.
Frozen broccoli is another really good one. Yeah. And because broccoli can be kind of expensive. And you buy it fresh. And what about, do you use any canned veggies?
Yeah, not so much, like definitely canned legumes, but I can't
tomatoes,
really. Oh, canned tomato, but I don't.
You can get corn. I'd usually buy canned corn as opposed to frozen corn.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about knowing what ingredients, you know, frozen and canned, like obviously there's like soups and casseroles they work really well in, obviously salad, not so much.
Yeah.
So you can kind of pick
using
and choose.
A combination of fresh and frozen or canned.
But like I think the key thing to know is that nutritionally, canned and frozen are on par with fresh. You just want to be a little bit careful with canned that there's no added sugar or salt. So especially with canned fruit, often like that, they do add a lot of sugar to those. So
And if it's a canned fruit, you just want to make sure you're buying it one that's in the natural juice, not a syrup.
Next one is to try and, I guess, you know, you got a recipe, see what substitutions you can make for expensive ingredients. So if you, you know, have your favorite cookbook, probably the Biting Truth cookbook, and we are quite mindful of the cost of ingredients in there, but maybe it's, you know, an Ollolenghi recipe and it might call for quite an expensive ingredient, please remember that you can always substitute particular ingredients for more affordable options or have a look at what is on sale when you go to the supermarket that week. So if a recipe calls for Brussels sprouts, which are delicious, you can always replace that with something that is more affordable. Maybe something like zucchini would be a good option there. You know, if it calls for cherry tomatoes, which are generally more expensive than just like your typical regular tomatoes, you can always swap cherry tomatoes for regular tomatoes. If it calls for a more expensive type or cut of meat, you know, you can always go for chicken thigh over chicken breast, or you could go for a mince, rump instead of eye fillet steak. Leeks are usually they can be expensive. Sometimes they're on sale. You can always swap that for other food, like another option like onions. So think about what substitutions you could make, not just, and we often make those based on what we like, you know, if a recipe has an ingredient you don't like, you might sub it out, but actually think about costs there. Remember that you know, if it's got fresh herbs in it, you can ditch them and just add dried herbs. Usually it's not going to influence the taste that much.
Yeah. I think sometimes we can be a bit scared to like be a bit more flexible with the recipe, but especially when it's more like a recipe we might be making for dinner or something, there's, you know, especially with vegetables, swapping to something that's in season, I think it gets a little bit harder with like baked kind of foods where it kind of really does matter, like what ingredients are in there and the portions. Like, you know, if you're making a loaf, actually one of my friends was asking around, we have a recipe for protein balls in our cookbook and it utilizes coconut oil, which we don't actually use in a lot of our recipes, but they were asking if they could swap that for extra virgin olive oil. I'm assuming because she probably already had that at home. But that's an example where, well, we personally haven't tried it, but it's coconut oil is actually pretty important for that recipe because it helps the protein balls sort of stay together. So sometimes it does matter and you should be careful, but I think generally being open to being a bit flexible, particularly with things like fruits and veggies.
Yeah, baking is a slightly different story, when it comes to dinners or breakfast as well, you can often find a slightly cheaper option.
Yeah. The next tip is to be mindful of the health food aisle. Now, coming from us as dietitians, you might be a bit surprised to hear that the products in the health food aisle rarely make an appearance in our shopping trolleys. Now, products that are in the health food aisle, and this is obviously a generalization, but they can often be more expensive and they're not always healthier. They often have, you know, they're often claimed to be like organic or contain, you know, no added sugars or low calories, all these kind of claims that make them sound healthier.
Just because it's in the health food aisle does not mean it is healthier.
Yeah. So just being really mindful that you're not wandering that aisle and feeling like that pressure that you should be choosing a snack from there. Don't get us wrong, there are some good options in there, but we definitely wouldn't say that those kind of foods are essential for a healthy diet.
And I rarely go to the health food aisle. Like, I honestly rarely buy anything because a lot of the, if you know, maybe nuts might be there, but they're also going to be in the nuts section. So I'd more likely go to that aisle to get it. And often you'll find the cheaper option in the other aisle, in the like dried fruit and nuts aisle, than you would in the health food section.
Yeah. So just be mindful of those kind of foods, like, you know, the protein bars,
got
the
all
veggie chips.
No, stay clear. Another great little tip is to try to compare the cost per 100 grams. So this is one thing that can actually help you make serious savings, and that's to take note of the unit pricing when you're shopping. And you can do that online or in store. So I think online they have it as well, but definitely in store. And I look at this every time.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you have your regular products that you're not going to need to, but most grocery shops have to display the unit price of packaged goods. So for foods such as breakfast cereals, flour, rice, and a lot of other products, you know, even toilet paper and detergents and all these, you will actually get what the cost per unit is.
Yeah. So you might see, like, say you're looking at rice and it might say, like, for the 2 kilo bag of rice, it costs $4.80. But then in smaller writing underneath that price, you should see that it will say the cost per 100 grams. So it might be like 24 cents per 100 gram. And then you can look at that number and compare it with some other options of the rices to find the cheapest one per 100 grams.
Right, exactly. Because you might come across a 5 kilogram packet, and even though it's more expensive than the 2 kilograms, actually the cost per unit is cheaper, cost per 100 grams is cheaper. And that's where, you know, you're kind of buying, often buying in bulk, the cost per 100 grams is going to be a lot cheaper. So I really recommend you do this. I was in the looking at extra virgin olive oils recently, which is so expensive, really, but is something worth spending your money on. There was such a big difference looking at the cost per 100 grams. And also, you know, when you look at items on sale, often that cost per 100 grams really comes down. Yogurts is another one to really look for.
And our final tip is to have a look if there is a butcher or a seafood section at your local supermarket. Often we find that people think that these sort of meat seafood sections are more expensive, but they really can end up being a cheaper option. So particularly, say, with something like salmon, we often find that it can be, if you're buying it fresh from that sort of seafood deli section, it's going to be cheaper than if you were to buy it in a packet.
Yeah. So I discovered this a few months ago, and I was like, I usually just go and get, you know, usually just pre-packaged like Hon or Tassel salmon. And then across from me when I was looking, I saw the seafood section and I had a look and it actually was like on sale. And I realized that the cost per 100 grams of the fresh salmon was a lot cheaper. And you do end up getting larger portions. So you usually end up spending a similar amount, which might be like $20 for 2 pieces of salmon fillet. And it is expensive, but it's something that I really value and really enjoy. So it's, you know, maybe $18, but you're getting a lot more for it. So you're going to be feeling, you know, more satisfied. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out for. Have a look at the butcher, at the seafood section, at your supermarket. Have a look if there's anything on sale and check that cost per 100 grams because often it is actually cheaper than the prepackaged.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip because you definitely would look and think that it's going to be more expensive from there.
Yeah, because if you go to a butcher or a seafood shop, yeah. It is more expensive. Yeah. But within the supermarket.
Very sneaky.
Yeah, a little bit sneaky.
All righty. Well, that is a wrap for today's episode. We hope that you guys can maybe take away a few sneaky tips when you're doing your supermarket shopping. And also, if you need some recipe ideas, you need something to help with your planning, make sure you check out the Biting Truth Cookbook available in both hard copy and digital via our website.
And we do just have a small favor to ask you guys, our beautiful, loyal listeners. If you did enjoy today's episode or found it useful, or if you think anyone might enjoy this or find it useful, please share it with them. Just send the link on. I think there's a little button that you can just share the link. We'd appreciate your support.
And if you aren't already following us, please do. And if you could give us a review, that would mean so much to us. We really appreciate you being part of our potty community.
Well, we'll be back in your ears next week. Bye. Bye.